Please remember, the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DV Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DV Radio staff, nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
Welcome to the Service Dog Show. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai, also known as PTS Dog.
And I'm your host, Scav.
I want to let the audience know, you know, Scav and I, we've worked together. We share information back and forth.
I run Scout as my service dog. He's a hearing dog, PTSD dog.
We're here to bring you news, interviews, and information about service dogs and about matters that are of interest to the service dog community.
Thank you for joining us on the Service Dog Show on DV Radio, WDVR.
And welcome to the Service Dog Show. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai, also known as PTS Dog.
And I'm your host, Scav.
All right, we got a lot to cover today, but first I wanted to do a quick update about my trips to the VA up there in Richmond, Virginia. Now, if you're a service dog handler, what I do not want is for you to think, oh God, better not go to Richmond. It's a problem. It's a problem. It's not. Okay? Thankfully I had Nevermore with me this time because I needed a secondary handler, had to have a procedure done, where they had to knock me out. So I needed, first of all, I needed somebody to drive me home. And second of all, I needed somebody to handle Skeeter while I was doing the procedures. So, thank you to Nevermore for graciously, giving up her time off to take care of me. And go to a city she just definitely doesn't enjoy. That's actually where she went to MEPS when she joined the Air Force. And so she's not a big fan of Richmond.
Well, she's also got a new title thanks to that trip.
Yeah. The peacemaker. The keep PTS dog out of jailer. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. If you remember, man, I was hot when I came back from my trip in June. And rightfully so. I was pissed. A security guard, rent-a-cop, Nevermore says, you know, don't call them rent-a-cops. That's incredibly insulting. You're goddamn right I'm calling her a rent-a-cop. She doesn't deserve any other title. Okay, this person is the problem. This is why I've been having access issues at the VA at Richmond. It's not because of the VA police. It is because of a rent-a-cop who has one tiny little bit of authority. The rent-a-cops were hired to ask the COVID questions.
Dude, you were so much on fire when you came back the first time. So when I talked to you this next time, I was like, are you fucking kidding me right now?
It happened again. Okay, so the rent-a-cops are hired to ask COVID questions. They're a screen outside. They fill out this little piece of paper, checklist. You know, have you headache, vomiting, diarrhea, fever, blah, blah, blah. No. Give me the piece of paper. It's the multi-pass at that VA. Okay. You wave it around, multi-pass, and they let you go wherever you need to go. Fine. Don't have a problem answering the COVID questions. I don't. Never was an issue. So the first time, remember, they wanted registration or certification paperwork for Skeeter.
Right.
Nope. Doesn't exist. There's no such thing. You are breaking the law. They dug in their heels. I read them the VA instruction. They called the police on me because I was pissed and I raised my voice. You're goddamn right. I started yelling. They were demanding something that was one, a violation of my rights, and two, was illegal for them to request per VA instruction, which is federal law. It's published in the Federal Register. That means that is the law. This is how the VA is to function. That is law. You cannot ask. It says specifically, staff cannot request paperwork, registration, or any proof of training in order to grant access. Period. They can only ask, is that a service dog required because of a disability, and what tasks is it trained to perform? This is per VHA instruction 1188. This is important. This is very important because that's where we run into a problem again. So anyway, the chief of police was there in recap of the first incident, turned around to Miss Rent-a-Cop and said, you're here to ask the COVID questions only. Turned back around to me and said, go answer the COVID questions. Have a nice day. She put on all sugar and spice and smiles and, okay, sweetheart, well, have you had any headaches, blah, 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 and acted like nothing had ever happened when just a minute before, 60 seconds, she had been screaming at me, regulations change, policies change, you can't bring that dog in here. And stop making a scene over nothing, which it absolutely was not nothing. She was violating my rights and breaking the law. Mm-hmm. Okay, fast forward. So we come down. We had to go up there Monday. I go into the routine is to go into the emergency room if you're after 4 p.m. to get a voucher for your hotel, because they're bussing me or transporting me in from another state. They put me up. So that's nice. And actually, they have a contract with a nice hotel. It's DoubleTree by Hilton. It's actually nice. It's clean. It's not skanky. Unfortunately, it has two restaurants and a club, but they're all closed because of COVID, and a bar, but they're all closed because of COVID. So, but Richmond has lots of delivery. So food wasn't an issue, you know, everything good. So I go into the emergency room. The screener doesn't understand about service dogs, but the VA police officer happened to be, well, not only didn't one not understand about service dogs, but he didn't understand what I was saying when I said, I just need to go in and get a housing voucher. So there were two VA police on duty in a little monitoring room right there at the entrance. He just turned around, went, knocked on their door. They came out, said, what do you need? Or he asked them, he says he needs to come get a housing voucher. They're like, oh yeah, let him in. No big deal. Went in, got my voucher, left. Okay, so again, who was the problem? The screener. This is not the VA. It is a security, private security company hired by the VA to ask the COVID questions. They're not there to ask, is that a service dog? And what tasks is it trained to perform? They're not there to determine whether or not you're allowed in the VA. They're just there to ask the COVID questions. That's their sole function. Okay, this is important. So Tuesday morning, first thing in the morning, I have just an appointment with the surgeon. The screeners at the front gate there was nowhere to park, so I had to use the valet. I hate using them, but whatever. Screener comes up to the truck, asks me questions while I'm sitting in the truck, and hands me the form, and nobody asks me a damn thing about Skeeter. I go walk right in, go straight up to the surgical clinic, go straight to my appointment. Everything's fine. Come back out. I've got 2.5 hours before my first procedure. Now, my first procedure is an upper GI scan in radiology. It has always been my policy personally that Skeeter does not go into radiological rooms. He doesn't go into the X-ray. He doesn't go into the CT scan. He doesn't go into the MRI. I do not want to expose him to any radiation that is unnecessary. Meaning specifically, unless he's getting X-rays, he's not going in.
Bingo.
So I go back to the hotel to do the responsible thing and bring Nevermore, my secondary handler, right? Who will sit with Skeeter in the waiting area while I go in and have radiation shot through me. So he is not exposed. This is literally in the ADA. Now, remember, the VA doesn't fall under the ADA. I know that. But literally, what the ADA says about service dog presence in hospitals is if you are unable to handle your service dog because of an injury or treatment, which this would qualify as treatment, then you must provide a secondary handler because it is not the hospital staff's responsibility to maintain control of your service dog while you are receiving treatment. So as a responsible handler, I brought my significant other to handle my service dog while I was having a procedure. The right thing to do. Okay, the legal thing to do, the correct thing to do under the law. Same woman who was screaming at me the first time, demanding that I provide paperwork or registration for my service dog, illegally, against VA policy, against federal law, the ADA, and against Virginia state law. She broke three laws, with three different sets of laws when she did that the first time. She waves me over to screen with Nevermore beside me and Skeeter to come in this time at 10:15 in the morning. My procedure's at 10:30. Again, no parking. We had to use the valet. Oof, don't get me started about parking at that VA. It ain't good. Anyway, so I start answering the COVID questions. I don't have a problem answering the COVID questions. It's never been an issue. It's not the issue. She says, why is she here? I said, well, I'm going to x-ray and the dog can't go into x-ray rooms with me. So she's here to handle the dog. Well, she can't come in with you. Now, remember, the reason that these people were hired is to ask the COVID questions. One, so she starts going into this thing about, well, you can't be accompanied. It's the policy. Now, she personally, right before me, 6 feet in front of me because of social distancing, had let a veteran and his wife in. So she chose me to exercise authority she doesn't have. I didn't get mad. I didn't argue. I said, who do I call to talk to? Because that's not acceptable. She said, you need to call the VA police. And I said, okay. I said, can you call them? She said, no, you need to call them. I said, okay, no problem. Didn't raise my voice. I was perfectly fine. I moved with Nevermore over to the right side, completely out of the way. Skeeter's on my right against their little corral they have. So we are completely out of the way. I dial the number, get transferred to the VA police so that I can get somebody with some authority, because she's a fucking rent-a-cop. So I can get somebody with some authority to come out and help me, because I need my dog to go into a hospital where I don't belong. This is not my normal hospital. I don't know these people. I'm not used to this place. You need a PTSD service dog? This is where you need a PTSD service dog in this situation. She, in my view, goes inside the lobby and starts making radio calls while I am peacefully and calmly on the phone requesting that an officer come to the main entrance. This is where the problem begins. Before the officer, who is a sergeant and his lieutenant right behind him, comes out, a corporal comes around from behind me, which Skeeter warned me, and says, what seems to be the problem here? Arms crossed. His physical posture is that he's responding to somebody who's being aggressive, which I was not. So I'm like, okay, well, maybe they radioed and sent him. I hadn't put it together. I hadn't put two and two together yet that she, the rent-a-cop, had gotten on the radio and called something. I'm going to assume that she called that there was somebody with a problem, that there was aggression at the front, at the main entrance. Had not happened. I never raised my voice. I was completely professional and polite. I stepped over to the side, made my phone call. This corporal shows up ready to rock. And I was not causing a problem or anything. I said, I need to go to radiology to have a procedure done. And she's telling me I cannot bring my secondary handler in to keep track of my service dog while I go get the procedure because, you know, that's what I'm supposed to do. That's the right thing to do as a responsible handler. Now, here's where the failure on the part of the police occurs. The corporal first says, well, why can't he go in x-ray with you? And I said, because I don't want to expose him to the radiation. And he's like, okay. And he's like, he starts making this like calm down motion. And I kind of was like, well, duh, you know, I don't want to expose the radiation. But I wasn't aggressive yet, okay? And he goes, okay, well, the policy because of COVID is that you can't be accompanied. And I'm like, here's the problem. I need my service dog, and I can't take him into x-ray. So I did the responsible thing and brought my spouse. I lied, said she was my spouse just to make things easier for explanations purposes, because I already knew this was going to get into a rigmarole, right? Mm-hmm. So, I brought my spouse to make sure that somebody was there to be responsible for the dog while I'm in x-ray. Okay, but that's the policy. He says, why do you need your dog? And I'm like,
are you serious?
Because he's trained to assist me with my disability. Now, he never said, okay, what's your disability? But he danced around it. Yeah, but what for? Not what tasks is the dog trained to perform, okay? He's digging to get me to admit what my disability is.
He's fishing.
This is the point where I started to spin up. because, again, VHA Directive 1188 is very distinctly clear. It is clear as a bell. We're going to read it. We're going to read it because, you know, people want to doubt and people want to say, that's just what you claim. Well, no, I'm going to read it directly from VHA Directive 1188, okay? So here it says, hang on, it's zooming in. Zoom back out. Okay. When determining whether a dog is a service animal, VHA staff cannot ask about an individual's disability. What did he just do?
Oh, man.
Wait, it says right here, when determining whether or not a dog is a service animal, VHA staff cannot ask about an individual's disability.
So there's two laws we just quoted verbatim from the VA's own website, or from the VA's own policies, rather.
Yeah, okay. Not only that, but check this out. So the next section, responsibility for the service animal while on VHA property. VHA staff members are not permitted to care for, supervise, or assume responsibility for a service animal that is not the staff member's service animal while the service animal is on VHA property. This includes boarding or kenneling the service animal. The individual with the service animal, the handler, or an alternate handler, is responsible for the service animal at all times while on VHA property. Wait, what? So I was still fulfilling the requirements of the law.
And you were still getting pushback from two ignorant individuals.
Yes. Okay. Now, I don't know what the rent-a-cop said on the radio to get the corporal coming in ready to go, ready to rock. Because he was ready. He was ready to cuff me up when he walked up. Okay. So he was on edge, which of course, me being disabled by PTSD, am going to respond to fight or flight response. You start challenging me, and especially when I understand the law because I share it and teach it to other people, I'm going to get wound up. I'm going to get upset. You're asking me a question you're not allowed to ask me. You're breaking your own rules. You're breaking the law. I'm going to stand up to that, right? He says, well, you can't take that. You can't take her in there to watch your dog. And here's where I lost it. I said, are you fucking kidding me? He said, sir, if you cuss at me again, I'm going to put you in cuffs. I'm going to arrest you. Nevermore, thank God, turned around and said, shut up. I'll deal with this. Never argue with Nevermore, especially when she tells you to shut up. She turns around and starts talking to the corporal. Okay. At the same time, the sergeant and the lieutenant, who I called, these are who I called, show up. What seems to be the problem? Nevermore fills them in. He's got a procedure in X-ray. He can't take the dog into the room with him. He needs his service dog. So I'm here to hold the dog while he's in the X-ray room getting the procedure. Okay. Then, now, she and I have discussed this. It's a decision she made, and I'll live with it, okay? It's a decision she made at the moment to defuse the situation. She explained that is his PTSD service dog. If he doesn't have his dog with him, you're going to get called again. The dog keeps him out of trouble. Do you really want to come see him again in there? And they're like, oh. And the corporal shut up immediately. He stopped talking and stepped back. Like he's like, I done fucked up.
Yeah, bells and whistles going off everywhere.
The sergeant turns around, walks into the foyer, calls X-ray, explains, hey, got a veteran out here with his service dog. He can't take it in the room. His wife's here with him. Can she sit in the waiting area with the dog while he's getting X-rays? X-ray's like, of course.
You okay. Bunch of dumbasses.
Yeah. Why would that be a problem? Of course she can. Okay. So wait, now it gets better. Okay. Everybody's like, oh, yep. She Nevermore answers the COVID questions, gets her multi-pass. We go into X-ray. The X-ray guy, I check in and he's like, oh, they called about you. What a stupid policy. Okay. I get her seated with Skeeter. We're looking at the waiting area. All the chairs are 6 feet apart and no less than six people in chairs in the waiting area were spouses waiting for their veterans to come out of X-ray.
Imagine that.
it wasn't necessarily the policy, and that Rent-A-Cop recognized me because my dog is unmistakable, singled me out, and decided she was going to enforce policy because she, I'm going to assume, wanted revenge because she got her ass chewed the first time she illegally tried to deny me access.
Huh. It would sure be a shame if this episode made it into their hospital and the VA police email somehow, Bo.
Well, I have a call in to the I have a call into the VA police, and well, for what I did was I did it the right way. I'm going to do this completely correctly. Okay. When I went up to the front door the first time, I was correct right up until they started demanding paperwork. When I went up the second time, I did it correct. I mean, fulfilled the requirements of VA policy, of the ADA. I was 100% on the ball doing what I was supposed to do. Both times, the interference of this particular female who must not like dogs, which is fine. But if she's supposed to be a professional, then it doesn't matter.
You know, the you thing know? Is, you got a person overstepping their bounds again.
And I, because of my service dog, was singled out twice by the same person. That is the definition of discrimination. When a person in power denies access because they dislike dogs, they are discriminating against the service dog handler. This is literally what the laws are written to prevent.
And here's the kicker that you didn't let up. You said that there was a wheelchair couple that was pushed in right in front of you.
Me. Wife wheeled in her veteran right in front of me. So she was picking and choosing. She saw me, recognized Skeeter, and decided, fuck this guy. He got me yelled at last time. I'm going to mess his day up.
And the dumbass
almost succeeded. If Nevermore hadn't been there, I would have ended up in cuffs. Because the corporal, and here's where the education is lacking on the part of the education is lacking on the part of the police department. The corporal was trying to wheedle my disability out of me. Now, here's my question that when I talked to the lieutenant, I have a call back into it. He called Friday. I missed his call. I called today. He's off today. So he's on tomorrow. Here's my question I'm going to ask him. If I was blind, would any of this have ever happened?
Yeah. Or if you were missing a leg and been in that wheelchair?
Well, no. If that was a seeing eye dog, would any of this ever have happened? Well, well then why is it happening with a medical alert service dog? Doesn't matter whether or not it's a PTSD service dog. Under the ADA, which is the law of the land, understanding that the VA doesn't fall under the ADA, but the VA will parallel the ADA, under the law, a service dog that is trained to perform tasks or do work for a disabled individual, and those tasks or work are directly related to that person's individually, is a service dog, period, no matter what the disability is. So why is it that you're picking and choosing which disabled veterans are more equal than other disabled veterans?
And here's the thing that pisses me off the most. They're the VA. You're a veteran. They're there to take care of you, not fucking cause this turmoil.
Exactly.
You know, you're more stressed out now than when you left for the damn procedure.
None of it. Look, if that woman hadn't pulled what she'd pulled and called the corporal, if she'd just let me make my phone call, have the police officers come out, explain, I need my service dog with me, and you know, the sergeant make the call to X-ray, and X-ray go, yeah, no problem. That's a silly policy anyway. None of this would have happened. That one woman created the issue. Now, if I were that corporal, and Nevermore said this, if I were that corporal, I'd be pissed at her because she set him up. Whatever call she put on the radio, he came as though I was starting a fight, which I was not. I was making a phone call peaceably.
Right. And she
came aggressive, which of course, stressful situation, stressful place,
yep.
PTSD. I responded in kind. Now, these guys should be trained in de-escalation. The fact that he's a corporal means maybe he's junior. Maybe he needs some more training. And that's fine. But that's just it. I would be glad to go train these guys. I don't have a problem. They're doing their jobs. The corporal was acting with the information he was given, which was bad information from the rent-a-cop.
But the thing is, they're VA police. They're working in a VA. They shouldn't come at, most of the people there are going to have some kind of PTSD or not. Of some type. You don't come at these guys.
And we're not labels. And here's the, and even above and beyond that, Skeeter was perfect. Skeeter was absolutely flawless the entire time, all four times. He went into the emergency room with me. He went in first thing in the morning. He went into the radiology appointment. That's three. Then the next morning I had an endoscopy where they had to knock me out. So they actually requested. The whole reason Nevermore was there was because the VA said, you need to have a driver. Somebody has to come with you because you're going under sedation. The VA told me to bring her. And oh, by the way, she can be the secondary handler for my service dog. He was perfect except for trying to pick up some young nurses.
Yeah, nice.
My dog's a player. He was perfect. He was perfect. Skeeter was never an issue. It was this one woman instigating because she doesn't like dogs. Well, guess what? The ADA is very clear. If a fear of dogs and allergies are not excuses for denial of access. If you are that afraid of dogs that you have to cause problems for service dog handlers, then you have no business being in a position of any authority in a gatekeeper position. None. You should not be doing it. If you can't get past your fear and be professional, then you need to find a different fucking job.
Especially for our nation's veterans. Jesus Christ. It's ridiculous. So,
I have an earful to give the lieutenant. I'm not going to cuss at him because apparently that's disturbing the peace or some bullshit.
And they're going to arrest you for freedom of speech.
Yeah, they're going to arrest me for saying, are you fucking kidding me? I'm sorry. When he just shut down and was like, because I wouldn't tell him what my disability is. He goes, well, what for? I said, to assist me with my disability. He can't ask me what my disability is by law. The fact that nobody relaxed and started trying to help until after my disability was disclosed was wrong.
It's complete bullshit is what it
is. That was wrong. And I understand. I'm not mad at Nevermore. I understand she just wanted to defuse the situation and get us in the door, so get my treatment. I get it. But at the same time, she never should have divulged it because that is a violation of VA policy, hospital policy. It's on hospital grounds. That actually could be a violation of HIPAA because you're at a hospital. So there's a lot of issues with that interaction that none of them look, if these guys had the training to understand that it doesn't matter what the service dog does, as long as it's trained and behaving, it doesn't matter if it's a seeing eye dog, if it's, helping pull a wheelchair, or if it doesn't look like the guy's got a problem, because guess what? Not all disabilities are visible. You can't look at someone and say, oh, he's got the PTSD. So, it never should have been an issue what my disability was. That never should have been any part of a question in any of their minds. And the fact that that's what it took was divulging my disability in order to defuse the situation is wrong. That is failure on the part of the police. That is where their training is lacking. I'm not mad at them. I want to help them. Thankfully, Nevermore was there, turned around, gave me the look and told me to shut up. And I listened. If she hadn't been there, I'd probably still be in a jail cell and Skeeter would be in a shelter.
Mm-hmm.
That's not right. That shouldn't have happened that way. It is inexcusable that it did.
Yeah, that's where we need to try to use some caution as handlers, even though we're hotheads in some situations.
And you know what? If I'm up against the police, I have to try to remember. And Skeeter's working his ass off trying to keep me calm. I have to try to remember. Maybe they just don't know better. The problem is, in a situation like that where they have the power, they don't want to be educated.
No. And yeah, we're alpha males. They're alpha males.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's going to be a confrontation there.
Exactly.
And so, unfortunately, they're going to win.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they have the guns. They have the tasers. They have the handcuffs. I will gladly go battle this out in federal court. Look, if that's what it's going to take in order for this VA to get their shit together and start training their police right, if I need to go into cuffs, if I need to get charges, I know I'll win in federal court. That's not a question.
You want to arrest me for calling you a cocksucker? Let's go.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but asking, are you fucking kidding me? Is not illegal. Sure, it would have been a real red ass to have to go to court to deal with it. But what the real source of the issue is ignorance on the part of the police. We can fix that. That's easy.
Right.
But that's secondary. The primary source of the issue is one woman with a tiny speck of power who is abusing it because she doesn't like dogs. That is inexcusable. That has to be addressed immediately with either repositioning her somewhere else where she can't cause harm to veterans or firing her fucking ass.
Yeah, she needs
doesn't
to be,
belong there.
She needs to be put behind a mop or in the unemployment line.
Yep. And I'm sorry, she may be providing for kids. I don't know. But she has no business standing in front of a veterans hospital denying access to veterans who have every right to be there, are not violating any laws, simply because she doesn't like service dogs. She has a problem. That needs to get resolved.
And then she turned around and twisted the story when she sent Corporal.
Oh, she lied the first time, said I was refusing to answer the COVID questions. That was straight bullshit. No, they were demanding registration paperwork for my service dog. Had nothing to do with the COVID questions. I never had a problem answering the COVID questions. Wasn't about the COVID questions. It was about people in a position of authority demanding something illegal of me and discriminating against me. That was the issue. What kills me is both of the women in the security guard and then the one who was the real issue, who was her supervisor apparently, both of them were black. So both of them presumably understand discrimination. Yet they are discriminating against me. What do you do with that?
That's a little.
I mean, you would assume in the atmosphere of today that them of all people, black females, would understand discrimination. Yet here they are. How do you deal with that? I don't have an answer there. I don't know what to do about that. I really don't. I don't have an answer for that. So yeah, that's the latest with the VA. I'll fill y'all in next week after I talk to the lieutenant. Like I said, I'm not angry at the police. They just need better education. I'm not really, I feel bad for the security guard lady because she's going to get in trouble. She has to, because if this happens a third time, I will not move from that place until the chief of police comes back. I identify her personally and say, she is actively discriminating against me. This is now the third time. I reported it. I requested that you take care of it. It's happened again. What are you, sir, going to do about it? This is the Service Dog Show right here on DVRadio.net, WDVR. We'll be right back after these messages.
DV Radio.
What's DV Radio?
DV Radio is for you, the veteran, active duty service member, caregiver, and civilian supporter of the military. DVRadio.net is the online veteran network made for and by veterans. From original shows to syndication, you can find it here on DVRadio.net. In an effort to continue our mission and make better quality shows for each and every one of you, visit our Patreon at patreon.com/DVRadio. Whether you can only pledge $1 per month or that entire $1 million inheritance your uncle left you, there's a tier with rewards waiting for you. So why not keep DV Radio running and get rewarded at the same time? Head to patreon.com/DVRadio now. That's patreon.com/DVRadio.
Radio.
Welcome back to the Service Dog Show. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai, also known as PTS Dog.
And I'm your host, Scav.
With us for the second half is Stephen Bender of Task Dogs 2020, a service dog expo. Stephen, a lot has changed. The event was supposed to have already occurred physically in or just outside of St. Louis at Purina Farms, but that didn't happen. What can you tell us about what's going on?
Well, thank you for having me back. This is, the third time you've had me on here now, and I appreciate it. There's a lot that's happened since June 6th when we were supposed to have this event this year. Obviously, there's been a virus going around that's put a damper on a lot of, events, that kind of thing, and this was one of them. We scheduled it twice, but due to health concerns for, the general public, even for the people, the vendors and organizations that would be participating in this, we ended up canceling all three times. And at your suggestion, we decided to have a virtual event. That's where we are now.
So, look, this is different, folks. And I don't know if anybody's, there are Comic Cons that are doing virtual Comic Cons right now for the same reasons, because of COVID-19. So, it's not an original idea, but this is probably the first event of its type that's doing it this way. And what we're doing is we are going to host a webinar on DV Radio, and it will be simulcast on both the Live365 and TuneIn apps on the DV Radio channel, while being broadcast with video live on the Task Dogs 2020 Facebook page. So you will be able to see presenters from 14 different organizations?
14, 15, I think it is, yes.
Yeah, okay. So you're going to get to see people from all over the United States coming on via the webinar to talk to you about their organization. They'll get 20-minute slots. We're going to aim for 15 minutes of presentation and 5 minutes of Q&A, hopefully. Nobody's done this before. I've not done this before, so this is going to be tricky. But what we're going to try to do is have a event that would be similar to guests walking up on a stage and giving a presentation, except they're doing it over the internet using the webinar format. And I want to remember to reiterate to you folks, we've talked about this often as all this is ongoing. Nonprofits are suffering right now. The number one way for nonprofits to raise funds in order to serve the communities that they serve is by fundraising events. Task Dogs 2020 is no exception. There's an opportunity for local businesses and nonprofits and businesses from elsewhere to come to one place to do a presentation, not only to educate about service dogs, but also, if it's a nonprofit and they're there at the event, they've got a little bucket out for donations. They're selling t-shirts, they're selling leashes, whatever. Well, guess what? When you can't do it in person, all that money and all that planning just goes away. So this is an alternative. We're trying to help fill the gap. I think most, if not most of the presenters, with one or two exceptions, are nonprofits. Is that not correct?
Yeah, most of them are, yes. A couple of them are just individuals. One of them's a business owner, but yes. Mm-hmm.
So this is a great opportunity for these nonprofits to come and tell you a little bit about who they are and what they do and why. And since it's going to be video, they may be able to show you. Say if it's a dog training organization, maybe they'll have, I don't know. They might have a couple of their people with their dogs with them. I don't know. This is new ground. We're breaking new ground. How it's going to pan out, I don't know. We're going to do our best. I'll tell you a little bit about the format. I will be introducing it along with Stephen and Joanne?
Jennifer.
From what is her organization? Her business.
Jennifer Schifano, they have the Academy of Pet Careers. It's a dog training school in St. Charles, Missouri.
Okay.
And they have the sister business, if I could say it that way. They're a Petropolis water park, dog grooming, veterinary clinic, and all that in one location. So she's been gracious enough to let me have this event from there on our end, you know, for using the web technology and having a place to, you know, ground this event, you know, make it feel like it has a physical location instead of just out there in, you know, 0s and 1s digit land. So, you know, it's different, but we're looking forward to it.
Well, and again, we're trying to give some sense of place and some sense of presence, but at the same time, due to restrictions in different states and where people are, you can't necessarily bring all these people for an exposition. So we're doing a virtual exposition. So we'll introduce it. I'm the first presenter. I'll talk to folks about service dogs. And then I'll introduce the next guest and they'll have 20-minute time slot. And then I'll introduce the next guest and they'll have a 20-minute time slot. We're going to break it into three 2-hour long video segments. And the reason we're doing that is because we are saving the files. We're saving the video to be published again at later dates in other places, such as on YouTube. So in order to manage the file size and make it workable, because 6 hours of video is a lot of information. It's a lot of data. So we're going to break it into 2-hour blocks. There won't be much time in between each block. We're just going to stop the video and restart the video. That will help manage. Facebook has a time cap for live broadcast videos. So that will get around Facebook's time cap. It'll give the recording mechanisms, both on Facebook and our recording mechanism through Zoom, an opportunity to manage that chunk of file. And then later, when it comes time to download the video and chop it up into smaller segments for publication on YouTube and other places, it will make that video easier to handle. So it might be a little confusing. I'll do my best to explain, hey, we will be right back. We're going to stop this stream, but we will begin the new stream in 1 minute or however long it takes me to reset it. And that's, like I said, simply really the main reason is to get around Facebook's time constraint block. So we don't overrun our time and Facebook kick us out automatically. And then we will try to offer Q&A. It's going to be a little bit tricky. Stephen and Jennifer are going to be reading questions on the live feed on Facebook and messaging those questions to the presenter on Zoom. So it's going to be a little, it'll probably take us a little while to get the system working correctly.
But man, if you can pull this off, it's going to be spectacular.
It's going to be fun. I think it's going to be fun. I'm not looking forward to spending 6 hours sitting in this particular chair because it ain't comfortable. I'm going to replace this chair real fast.
You can handle it.
It's almost as bad as sitting on a steel deck covered in non-skin back in my Navy days.
Well, if I had to sit in this chair for 6 hours, I'd be pulling over this other one.
Oh, yeah. No, I'll be getting up and down and moving around. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be challenging, but it's going to be fun. I want to make a special shout out to DB Radio for allowing me to take over their radio station during this event to present this. They're doing it at extremely low cost. And
they do us a lot of favors.
They do. And so, Bo, huge thanks to you for the support through all of this. This is a big deal. It's big for all of us. And Stephen, I want to say you sent me the t-shirt design, and PTS Dog and DB Radio are right next to each other at the top there. Thanks for top billing on that. I appreciate that. That's cool, man.
Yep.
Pretty cool.
I hope to get that order placed tomorrow so we can get some in things brought back in and maybe get them out to people. I know some people have already ordered a couple of them, so I got to manage that at the same time. And the sponsors on there, I wouldn't mind mentioning some of them later too. But if you get a chance here in a minute, I do have a rundown of who's on the schedule. At some point, if we want to go over that, we can
kind
of discuss briefly.
Yeah,
tell us who's supposed to be presenting.
Yeah, tell the folks who they're going to get to see, because you'll see them. You'll see them.
Right. At the moment, as of today, the opening will be at 10 o'clock in the morning Central Time for about 15-20 minutes. And it'll be Jennifer Schifano and I there at the Academy of Pet Careers in St. Charles, Missouri. And we'll be on the web there with Joaquin doing this at the same time. And, you know, just getting the information out to people, why we're doing it, you know, that kind of thing, how it's, you know, why we're doing it this way, you know, what they can look forward to throughout the day. And at 10:20, we'd have you, JJ, they're doing whatever it is that you need to talk about, however you want to address anything. I mean, that's your time spot, just like anybody else is on this list. That'll be from 10:20 to 10:40. And then at 10:40, you know, give or take a few minutes, maybe, is Christina Kimmerly. She is the events person with Dogs for Our Brave in St. Louis. They have a nonprofit there that's doing some great work within the St. Louis community. It's veteran operated, and I met her in person right before all this COVID stuff happened, and we were looking forward to having a small event together there, but obviously some things didn't work out because of, you know, health issues. But she's going to be there hopefully on her web end from 10:20 to 11, 10:40 to 11, sorry. And then 11 o'clock to 11:20 is Emily Schooling from Service Dog Consultations. She is based in Sacramento, California. And she had contacted the page, Task Dogs page, about wanting to be involved. And she was going to be there in person to do a presentation. And my understanding, I haven't heard talk yet, but my understanding is her idea is to go into businesses and help educate the management team, the business owners, about how employees should interact with service dogs and their handlers.
A much needed service.
Right, right.
Much needed.
That's what I've understood from, you know, messages with her and reading about what she does. So I look forward to hearing it. But at 11:20 to 11:40 is Duo Dogs. Duo Dogs is a really well-known assistant service dog organization there in St. Louis, again. And if I remember right, they're the ones that help train and provide a dog in training that became one of the mascots for the St. Louis Blues, Barkley. He was with them throughout the whole year last year whenever they won the Stanley Cup. I hope I got my organization right. I'm pretty sure it is Duo Dogs, Barkley. But they'll have a presenter on there. I'm not sure yet who it's going to be. I've been working with their contact there in the St. Louis area, getting that lined out. And then from 11:40 to 12 o'clock is Got Your Six PTSD Support Dogs. That's with Nicole Anahan and them over in Collinsville, Illinois. It's just across the river from St. Louis. They were at the event last year along with Duo Dogs. They had a couple of their, what they call touch teams. They're going around visiting people. But Got Your Six, they were there last year. They had four or five people with their service dogs there just meet and greet the public. It was a pretty big deal for me to have that many people from one organization come out to a first-time event. And I was excited about it, and they still follow the page and look forward to it. So from 12, I think I'm missing somebody in here. Can't read my writing. We got Corey James after that with Freedom Paws Service Dogs over in Chillicothe, Illinois. It's another veteran-based organization where they pair service dogs up with veterans. And, you know, they take donations, do their fundraising for organizations, just like you mentioned earlier. And let's see, 12:40 to 1 o'clock. Dogs That Help is an organization that helped me rent the hall last year there at the Purina Farms. Luke and Connie Reinhold with Dogs That Help, they're the ones that helped rent that hall. They had to have the venue had to have a parent organization involved to do this, and they kindly did that and signed a contract to help us have that first event. They did it again for this year, but obviously the event got canceled. But we have that bigger hall rented for next year too, so we got that taken care of already. And if my notes are falling wrong here correctly, it should be 1 o'clock to 1:20 is Ella Ben Nun. She is from Tel Aviv, Israel. She is with an organization. I think I've got these two out of place. I'll have the event schedule on the internet. It's already out there right now, but I think she's on there. I may have these two backwards, but she's with an organization that's called Dogs That Do Good. And more of an assistance type dog that they're working with for autism children, autistic children. That's one of the things that she likes to research. She has a degree or background in psychology, and she loves dogs. but there are very, very, very few service dog or similar organizations in Israel. And she's been reaching out, trying to find some different ways to help broaden what they know about it, what they need to know about it. And I invited her onto this, so maybe she and Joaquin can talk and learn from each other about this international aspect of it, I guess. So after that, we have Champ Assistance Dogs. That's another big name in St. Louis. They were at the event last year. They had quite a display out. They had four or five people with their organization there meet and greet the public. So it was, you know, great for me to see that many people again come from one organization out here to, you know, participate in it. And then we have Service Dogs of Distinction was with Marsha Wyatt. She's down in Mount Vernon, Arkansas. They made the trip from Mount Vernon, Arkansas to Purina Farms last year to attend this event. And she's consented to be on the webinar also. And after that, if my notes follow correctly, at 2 o'clock to 2:20 would be Tiffany Meyer of The Truth About Service Dogs. And Joaquin, you're familiar with her and what she's about and the service Nutella. And then, yes. You know, she wants to hammer away at some ADA issues, that kind of thing, I think. And you two can do question and answer and just have fun with it. Mm-hmm. And after that, if my notes follow correctly, I'm at 2:20 to 2:40 would be Lon Hodge. You know, he's a gentleman that had service dog gander that recently passed away. And he's working on filling that spot, I think, with some other some others that he's traveling with right now, taking up his time.
Gander was one of the American Humane Hero Dog. Yeah, America's Humane Hero Dogs. I think 2012 or 2013, America's Humane Service Dog of the Year, Hero Dogs. And then Lon has a nonprofit called Operation Fetch that provides a lot of assistance to homeless veterans throughout the Midwest, from Colorado all the way to Illinois. So it'll be unfortunately long lost gander to cancer this year, and that's horrible. But in true veteran fashion, he is moving forward, continuing his healing journey, and it'll be exciting to hear from Lon.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, I was hoping to have met him in person this time around. He was intending to be at the event last year, but some other issues came up that prevented that, and that's okay too.
Yeah,
there's always next time.
Yeah,
and
it's hard to tie Lon down to one time and place. He's a busy.
All right. And then we have following Lon would be Iowa Service Dogs. And after that, we have a college student who lives in Connecticut. She has a TikTok page where she puts out little videos of her and her service dog, Moose. Her name is Ashton Granari. And she, you know, has quite a bit of a following, and I think 600,000 plus followers on TikTok's quite a bit. The first time that she messaged the page, Task Dogs page, about wanting to introduce herself, she had, I think, 50,000. And just in the last 4 or 5 months or so, you know, since about April, she's got over 600,000 now. So I don't know. It's numbers I don't understand. So, but she's doing something right. She has a service dog named Moose that she puts up informational segments, you know, just with 15, 20 second videos sometimes, just to get the message out about, you know, service dog awareness is what she does. Mm-hmm. And following her is a contact Lon gave me, Kathy, with Faithfully Canine in Conifer, Colorado. So I think that would be the last of the presenters. And then we'll have a closing around 3:40 to 4 o'clock. I'm sure I got one of those times mixed up in there, but I'm going to have it. We'll have it posted later, and everybody has already been given their time already. But anyway,
I think
that's what that is. So yeah,
it's a full program, and it's diverse, not just people from the St. Louis area, which is great that we've got participants from California, Connecticut, Israel. That's going to be very interesting. I'm excited to hear from her. If you get any drops, maybe I can reach out to my connection in South Africa and see if they want to participate. I didn't even think about bringing international partners in. But how cool that we have that we've got people from all over the US, and not just people who help veterans, but other people as well. So people who are in general involved in the service dog community, and in most cases, providing service dogs, but not strictly just for veterans. So I'm glad to see that. I think one of the shortcomings in the service dog industry, well, first of all, the fact that there's an industry is a shortcoming, in my opinion. That's for a subject for an entirely different radio show. but one of the shortcomings of the service dog industry is that it's aimed primarily at veterans.
Right.
Not that veterans don't need service dogs. We absolutely do. But veterans are not the only people who need service dogs. So I appreciate, Stephen, that you're bringing this kind of diversity is in regards to who's participating to the event. That's important.
Well, Joaquin, it's directing itself more than I'm doing anything with it, because people started following the page whenever it was mostly veteran related, but there are people out there, you know, that have entirely different needs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, diabetic alert, you know, give me some others. You know, what are some half dozen others that
medical alert,
seizure alert, those kinds of things.
Mobility assistance.
Exactly. And people with those types of service dogs started following the page as well. So it just seemed fitting to be a little bit more inclusive in what people were at the event, in person.
And it's not, and folks, look, I'm a veteran. I'm a disabled veteran. Scav's a disabled veteran. This is a radio station run by disabled veterans. We get that, yeah, veterans need service dogs. Absolutely. Scav and I wouldn't be here if veterans didn't need service dogs.
Right.
But veterans are not the only people who need service dogs. We need to get past the veteran and look at disabled people. We want to reach.
That's how my page started. It was, you know, focused on veterans, but I've tweaked it to include civilians.
Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't matter. At the end of the day, what matters is that service dogs can be trained to assist disabled people with a big list of different disabilities. That's what's important. People need to understand that that's available to them. But also, and I think just as important, people need to understand the laws about service dogs, and people need to understand how to behave when they see a service dog. So this event is an outstanding opportunity to get all of that information out in a non-confrontational manner, but rather than being confrontational, an educational manner. And that's, I'm excited about this, Stephen. I think I told you this the first time we discussed task dogs. I said, thank you. Thank you for putting this together.
I remember.
You know?
This is going to be huge.
Well, you were talking about the international aspect of it. Mm-hmm. Probably about a year ago, I didn't have maybe 1,000 people following the page and like 2,400 and something now. It's not that great, but it's a very niche aspect. You know, it's not everybody needs or has a service dog or system. Field trial dogs or that kind of thing. I mean, it's a very narrow, I don't know how else to say it, but topic, I guess you'd think.
Yeah, it's not about the quantity. It's about the quality.
Yeah. Service dog, right. If you think about it, we are as elite, maybe more elite than military working dog handlers and police dog handlers. Our dogs have to be trained to some very high standards. They can't be aggressive. They can't be reactive. They have to be able to focus on us and alert us or respond to our disabilities, not on what's going on around them. Even police dogs and bomb dogs, you know, military working dogs, you know, they have specific tasks, but other than that, they're not required to be as inobtrusive as a service dog is. So when you really think about how service dogs need to be trained and how service dog handlers need to behave, we're the elite. We're the creme de la creme. We have to be, because we are constantly under scrutiny. every time we go somewhere. I cannot go anywhere with Skeeter without somebody noticing us, period.
And there's people out there pushing us to fail.
Oh, absolutely. And like we were talking about the first half of the show, because Skeeter is so recognizable, there have been repercussions. Not because of anything I did, but because the person who had some power doesn't like dogs.
Right. And you know, that's the way Scout looks. Oh, he's got a pit. He looks like a pit bull.
Oh, murder doggy, murder doggy. These are the kinds of things. This is why test dogs is so great, because it gives us an opportunity. We live in a very small insular world. We're disabled. We don't necessarily want to go out there and broadcast, hey, I got problems. But we have this dog with us that broadcasts, hey, this person has problems. So this is a great opportunity where we can be educational without being confrontational. And that's huge. That is a huge, because most of the time out there handling a service dog, Stephen, it ends up being confrontational because people don't understand my rights or the law that protects them. And so I have to educate them. It's usually a gatekeeper, and they're usually arguing. So this is a fantastic opportunity to get the word out without having to have that confrontational aspect. That so it is one of the biggest burdens of handling a service dog, having to fight your way in everywhere.
Yeah, we don't want to argue and be assholes.
You know, a lot of us have to. A lot of the times, you just have to end up being an asshole because they won't listen. It's tough. So, Stephen, thank you again for bringing that together. Now, before we wrap up the show, give us the date and times.
September 26th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Central Time.
And that will be broadcasting live in video, on a live video broadcast on Facebook on the Task Dogs 2020 page, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You can ask questions of presenters during the live broadcast on the Task Dogs 2020 page. It will be, I know I will be doing a watch party on the PTS Dog page and the Service Dog Show page. Boy, I don't even know my own radio show. I'll be broadcasting live watch parties, but if you need to comment or ask questions, you have to go to the live feed on the Task Dogs 2020 page. It will also be live via radio, so you will hear the audio live on the DV radio channel on the Live 365 app and the TuneIn radio app. Thank you very much again to DV radio for providing us the opportunity to broadcast this, simulcast this live. That's a big deal. And Bo, again, we owe you. Thank you so much. I'm doing all the legwork, but that does not take away the contribution that DV Radio has made to this event. Stephen, is there anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up?
I was going to ask you how much more time you have.
We've got about 3 minutes.
Okay. Well, I was just going to say that, you know, to follow up on my contact there in Israel, mm-hmm. was I had noticed somebody who had started following the Task Dogs page, started liking it, but it was from Israel. And I went ahead and contacted her to find out why. Because I didn't know how big of an event this could be. You know, could it draw people from out of the country? I don't know. But I reached out to her, and she's, you know, consented to be on the webinar, and hopefully she'll have other contacts that might be interested in doing something next year, maybe somebody in Europe or whatever, who knows. But there are some sponsors I'd like to quickly mention that are helping fund the, you know, the event, putting on the presentation through DV radio, yes. and that kind of thing.
Yes.
And there's, I'll just go through this list I have here. First of all is Kenny Festy Masonry. He's a longtime family friend here in Cape Girardeau where I'm at. He's contributed to the business along with Heisey Heating and Cooling. We have Skyview Veterinary Clinic, which is where I've been doing business for the last 4, 5, 6 years. Emo's Pizza in St. Louis. Oh my goodness. If you like pizza, you got to have Emo's Pizza. But they helped out last year. They're helping out again this year. A neighbor of mine, Terrence Kelly, he and his family have Nip Kelly Construction here in Cape Girardeau. He's been gracious to help donate 3 different times now. And the Advantage veterinary clinic and veterinary center in High Ridge, Missouri. Ridgeside Canine in Virginia. The dog trainer there is actually Tommy Loveless, who was in St. Louis. He helped put money toward it, and he's now with a different company because he moved, but that's beside the point. But anyway, that's what I have here. Those logos will be on the t-shirts also to help keep them out there and, in a sense, thank them for what they're doing, along with DV Radio on the shirt and PTS Dog, Task Dog. So that's that.
All right, folks. Well, you heard it September 26th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Central Time, live on the Task Dogs 2020 Facebook page, Task Dogs 2020, a service dog expo, the virtual expo. So you know what? You can't keep a good project down. And we figured out a way to do it in spite of all the shutdowns. Again, Stephen, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for creating this event. There's nothing else like it. And it is a fantastic opportunity for a segment of the population who has very few avenues to get their voices heard. So I'm very grateful to you for creating this. You've been listening to the Service Dog Show right here on DV Radio, WDVR. Until next week's folks, we're really grateful for all the support that DV Radio has given us. You can help support DV Radio. Check out their Patreon, patreon.com/DV Radio, and see what you can do to help make sure that veterans' voices are heard. Catch you next week. DV Radio.